I want to begin, of course, by getting the preliminaries out of the way and thanking the elders here for requesting my presence and my family. A sermon with a question to you World War II veterans. Perhaps that there's even Korean conflict veterans or Vietnam veterans in the assembly. I know Charlie Mullins and Matt Kirst and Brother Stu are World War II veterans. I'm certain there's probably more. If you were told 50 years ago, back in the early 40s, that in the future the armed services was going to permit homosexuals to openly admit their sexual preferences and be permitted to engage in warfare right along with you, what would you have thought back then? No way. Ain't no way. That will never happen in America. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. What do you mean, homosexuals serving in the armed services? My fellow Christians, it's a sad day in this great country in which we live when the President of the United States is about to permit such a thing to become a reality. My topic this morning is not a pleasant topic. It's on homosexuality and AIDS, and that's despicable. But I believe it needs to be preached so we can be aware of what actually is happening in this perverted society in which we're living. I want to look at a political issue, and I want to look at the Bible position on this political issue this morning. Moses said back in the old Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 30 at verse 19, I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. For the past 20 years in America, we have been systematically choosing death over life. We have chosen abortion rather than life. We have been choosing death through drug and alcohol abuse. We have been choosing intellectual death through the lyrics of rock music. We have been choosing death through gang violence. And now in America, we are endorsing homosexuality, a lifestyle which has spawned the AIDS plague. We're choosing death, friends, and not life. I want to say up front that homosexuality is a sin. And we're going to look at that in some detail. And I ask that you be patient with me this morning. This may run into extra innings. I hope not long, but please be patient. I want to say that, yes, homosexuality is a sin. But I also want to say that gossiping, that backbiting, that lying is a sin also. Now, those individuals will burn in the same hell with the homosexual. And that may ruffle some feathers of some sanctimonious birds that are perched on church pews, but nevertheless, it's the truth. You see, sin is sin. In God's eye, there is no such thing is big sin and little sins. According to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59 at verse 1 and 2, it is that sin that separates us from our God. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I want to begin with verse 21 beginning. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 27. Verse 22, the apostle says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I know that describes the Gentile nation at that time, but to me it's describing America today also. America is trying to sugarcoat everything. Everything is all right. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. That, my friends, is a short but accurate definition of the idolatry of secular humanism today. Verse 27, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. I'm going out on a limb and saying that would certainly include AIDS. Men leaving the natural use of the woman. Men with men. And what's the result of men with men? Verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, watch this, but have pleasures in them that do them. In other words, those who commit these sins know the judgment of God, yet they are not repentant. I say that describes America today. How does the Bible describe homosexuality? If you drop back to Leviticus, the 18th chapter, on that list of things that God hates is homosexuality. In verse 22 of Leviticus 18, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Watch this. It is abomination. We've probably heard that word a lot, haven't we? Abomination. But do we really know what it means? The Hebrew word translated abomination refers to the absolute worst of sin. This is not the only place in the Scriptures that refers to homosexuality as an abomination. In fact, in chapter 20 at verse 13, we see there that homosexuality was a capital offense. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. What's going to happen to them? They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. You know, it's impossible to reconcile scriptures with the description of homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. Homosexuals today are demanding recognition, aren't they? I mean, they're coming out. I want recognition. They want it socially, they want it politically, and they want it religiously. The Democratic Party has given special recognition to homosexuals in the gay rights plank of their platform. You saw the convention, so did I. Some churches today are ordaining homosexuals to preach and approving their lifestyle from the pulpit. Other churches are standing against homosexuality as the Scriptures say, an abomination unto God. Well, who is right and what does God's Word say about it? As we've seen, God's Word addresses the question specifically. If you believe the Bible is God's Word, and if you believe that it is true, there is no way one can recognize homosexuality as a legitimate or an alternative lifestyle. Now, if you want to know why humanists hate the Word of God, here it is in a nutshell. The Word of God establishes the standard of righteousness. Well, you know they don't want that. I mean, it establishes absolutes, moral, spiritual, and social. Humanists do not want anyone telling them what is right and what is wrong. They don't want any standard, they don't want any individual to do that. They don't want anyone, they don't want God, they don't want the church suggesting that there is no basis for their, if it feels right, do it philosophy. I'm telling you that the Word of God was here before we got here, and it will be here long after we're gone if God tarries. The Bible is truth. Jesus said it was in John 17, at verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's not trying to be the truth. It is the truth. Matthew 21, at verse 44, Christ said, every man who falls upon the word of God will be broken. But watch this. But upon whomever it falls, upon whomever the word of God falls, it will grind him to powder. There's a celebrity from Dayton who has made it big, and we all know of Phil Donahue. It's a sad day when we waste our time to watch Phil Donahue. He likes to joyously announce on his television program that the word homosexual is not found in the scripture, so why preach on it? Well, he's right if you stick with certain versions. The word homosexual is not found in the King James Version. However, it is found in the New International Version. Nevertheless, he thinks he's got us. Well, it's not in there. You can't preach on it. You can't condemn it. You know, the author of the scripture, the Holy Spirit, knew that people of varying degrees of education were going to read this book. So it is written, if you will, in word pictures. So unmistakably clear that anyone can grasp it. I mean, listen to it again. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. If you have the intelligence quotient of a freshwater trout, you can understand that as an accurate definition of homosexuality. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. So what does the Bible call homosexuality? An abomination. That means something disgusting, abhorrent, the strongest word the Bible uses to describe sin. Homosexuality is a rebellion against the established order of the Almighty God. It says that in no uncertain terms in both the Old as well as the New Testament. Turn to Genesis 19, and we're going to see where it real, you know, where it all originated. This is, if you will, God's urban renewal plan for Sodom. And I want to pose a question here, first of all. Will homosexuals be satisfied with recognition by politicians and the churches, or will they become even more aggressive? Keep that question in mind. Well, there's a case study of homosexuality here in the 19th chapter of Genesis, which will answer that question. We get our English word sodomy defined as copulation with a member of the same sex or with an animal. Despicable, isn't it? Don't even like to think along those lines. But that's the English definition of the word Sodom. From this passage of Scripture, it's going to describe the sin of the city of Sodom. Look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, no, no, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, watch this, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. He says, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. They didn't want to shake hands. This is a public demonstration against Lot. They knew Lot had guests in his house. They called them men. They wanted to know them, which means to have sexual relations with them. Let's read on. Verse 6, And Lot went out at the door unto them, shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men, he says, do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Lot told them, do not so wickedly. In other words, don't behave yourselves as sodomites. Lot offers his own two daughters to these men. Knowing they were homosexuals, he figured they would not bother the women. He knew what they really wanted, that they were the men in the house. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Does that sound like a passive group of alternative lifestyle individuals to you? Now they're threatening to sexually abuse Lot and trying to destroy his property. Look at verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Can you believe it? They're struck blind and they're still going for the door. How about that? Now, there are several important lessons we need to learn here. First of all, this was a public demonstration intended to intimidate Lot into surrendering his house guest to them for sexual purposes. That's what you call aggressive and out of the closet, believe you me. They came from every part of the city. It was the original gay pride day, if you will. They circled the house, both young and old. These were not closet homosexuals, my friends. There was a pattern of behavior here. They were as aggressive as a pack of wolves. They were willing to disregard Lot's property rights. They tried to break down the door and violate the integrity of his home. Now, if you think God tolerates homosexuality, just consider his urban renewal program for Sodom there at verse 24. Does God tolerate it? Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Don't sound to me like he approves of it, but we're going to show some evidence from some highly educated people today where they think God does approve of it. Let's look at the homosexual challenge to Christianity. Brother Jim, I appreciate you helping me out here on this. I'll show you where this quote's from here in just a moment. Let me paraphrase the argument the homosexual community is making in its assault on the Christian community. While what I say will be simpler and more straightforward than the usual statements made by homosexual leaders, I submit that I am not exaggerating either the message we are receiving or the rhetoric in which it is couched. This, then, is that message. We, the homosexual population, are now convinced from the few studies that support the claim that our sexual orientation is the product of hereditary factors. Homosexuality, therefore, is a natural condition. You see that? That is, one produced by nature, and as such was created by God, if there is a God, you see, and therefore is good. As a matter of fact, not only is homosexuality no more than an alternative lifestyle, it is also equal to heterosexuality and should be so regarded by Christians and Jews. I've got another quote here, but it's not on the transparency. Congressman William Dannemeyer of California has written this book called Shadow in the Land. Go to your public library if you want to see how deep America's in this. Go to your public library and check this book out. On pages 106 and 107, where he outlines the homosexual challenge to Christians of America, as for Jesus, he never said a word of condemnation against homosexuality, a fact that indicates that he didn't really see anything wrong with such attachments. Well, Dannemeyer, of course, is paraphrasing the militant homosexual view here. That's obviously an incorrect statement because Jesus did not mention the word rape either, did he? But does that mean he condoned it? He says, relying on these isolated statements in the Bible, as well as ongoing traditions of bigotry, Jews and Christians have been homophobes, for the better part of 3,000 years, persecuting homosexuals more than any other minority in the history of Western civilization. Well, that's another untrue statement. And I will address that issue of homosexualities as a minority a little bit further in this lesson. But here's what he says now. But now the tide has turned. We have at last come out. And in so doing, we have exposed the mean-spirited nature of Judeo-Christian morality. You have been narrow-minded and self-righteous. But with the help of a growing number of your own membership, we're going to force you to recant everything you have ever believed or said about sexuality. Here are some of the things you will be expected to affirm in the process of renouncing love, marriage, and the family. Number one, henceforth, homosexuality will be spoken of in your churches, he says, and synagogues, as an honorable estate. Number two, you can either let us marry people of the same sex, or better yet, abolish marriage altogether, since it will give the lie to everything you have said and done in the past about sexuality. Number three, you will also be expected to offer ceremonies that bless our sexual arrangements, whether or not you retain marriage as something to be celebrated in your churches. You will also instruct your young people in homosexual as well as heterosexual behavior, and you will go out of your way to make certain that homosexual youths are allowed to date, attend religious functions together, openly display affection and enjoy each other's sexuality without embarrassment or guilt. Number five, if any of the older people in your midst object, you will deal with them sternly, making certain they renounce their ugly and ignorant homophobia or suffer public humiliation. You will also make certain that all of the prestige and sources of your institutions are brought to bear on the community so that laws are passed forbidding discriminations against homosexuals and heavy punishments are assessed. We expect and demand the same commitment to us that you made to blacks and women, though their suffering has not been, he says, as bad as ours. Number seven. Finally, we will, in all likelihood, want to expunge a number of passages from your scriptures and rewrite others. Eliminating preferential treatment of marriage and using words that will allow for homosexual interpretations of passages describing biblical lovers such as Ruth and Boaz or Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Now check this warning out. If all those these things do not come to pass quickly, we will subject Orthodox Jews and Christians to the most sustained hatred and vilification in recent memory. We have captured the liberal establishment and the press, which they have. We have already beaten you on a number of battlefields, which they have. And we have the spirit of the age on our side, which they have. You have neither the faith nor the strength to fight us, so you might as well surrender now. Right here. It's right here. These are the demands of the homosexuals to the churches in America. They are at the door just like in Lot's day, and they're ready to knock it down, and we better wake up. Don't think it can't happen in America. Already, many municipalities have passed laws forbidding discrimination against homosexuals. Some of these laws have taken the form of stiff civil and criminal penalties for so-called hate crimes. And we're reading a lot about that in the papers today. Politicians have taken the very just laws which prohibits discrimination against any person on the basis of race, creed, or color, and they have added the phrase sexual preference. It's already law. It's there. The inclusion of those two words, sexual preference, in anti-discrimination laws will be used in an attempt to stop preachers from preaching that homosexuality is an abomination unto God. You're discriminating against us. We want you in jail. That day may not be too far off. Let me say something here about what is called gay bashing in the press. You know, homosexuals want to make it a crime to say anything against homosexuality. Well, that goes, of course, against the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. They also want to pass these hate crime laws to enforce stiff criminal penalties against thugs who attack and beat up homosexuals simply because they are homosexuals. As to the first point, where they want us not to say anything against homosexuality, I can assure you that hell will freeze over and I will personally skate on the ice before I quit preaching that homosexuality is an abomination unto God. And I hope you would too. But as to the second point, absolutely nothing in the Word of God sanctions assault and battery against homosexuals simply because homosexuality is a sin. I don't find it. So while I continue to preach that homosexuality is an abomination unto God, I do not condone the physical violence against homosexuals. What we need to enforce the laws we already have. And Christians need to speak out for righteousness and against violence. Now, not only have some cities, as we looked at, passed anti-discrimination laws, but some colleges are offering sanction of and protection for homosexuals. Did you see Friday's paper what our illustrious Ohio State University has done? They've got it already formed. Here it is. You've got your own place, homosexuals. Well, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, is a prime example. And the following is a quote from the Wall Street Journal, February the 3rd, 1992 edition, in an article titled, "Gay Students Enjoy Programs, Protections at Rutgers University." During coming out days, gay and lesbian students have a kiss-in on Brower Commons across from the Student Center. And under the university's controversial anti-insult policy, homosexuals don't have to suffer slurs in silence any more than blacks or Jews must endure slurs on campus. The policy forbids even belittling comments. Break the rules and you may have to clean some toilets. That's what it says here. In the dorms, Rutgers students can request and be assigned a gay roommate as casually as they might request a non-smoker. Rutgers now offers benefits to bona fide sole domestic partners of gay faculty members. Well, as I said a moment ago, homosexuals are trying to get their status recognized as a politically protected minority. Homosexuality is not a minority group like women or blacks or Hispanics. You know, homosexuality is a choice. You don't have a choice whether you're born male or female, black, white, or brown. You are not born homosexual. However, homosexuality is a learned behavior. I said this to a teacher the other day at school in the course of my break, and I mean to tell you I ruffled some feathers there. He has a gay son. He told me he had a gay son. I said, "Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Again, here is a humanist who has no regard for the almighty word of God. Not at all. They don't want to hear that, you see. Well, we'll look at some medical proof on that just a little bit further. I want to dig a little bit deeper now into this subject of homosexuality and AIDS. And again, please bear with me. Homosexuals and intravenous drug users have brought AIDS to America. But understand that AIDS is no longer a homosexual problem. AIDS is a problem to every man, every woman, every girl, and every boy living today. A Dr. Robert Strecker of Los Angeles, who is both an MD and a PhD, says these five things about AIDS. AIDS is not just a homosexual disease. AIDS is not just a venereal disease. AIDS can be carried by mosquitoes. Condoms will not prevent AIDS. There can never be a vaccine against the AIDS virus. He also says that the miracle drug, AZT, is nothing but junk food for the AIDS virus. A Dr. Hasseltine of Harvard University says that AIDS virus is species threatening. Don't you love the way academics talk? What he means is that AIDS has the potential to exterminate every human being on the face of God's green earth. That's from the AIDS cover-up, the author Gene Antonio of the San Francisco Ignatius Press, 1987. We are being comforted, though, with an array of numbers that pour out of our resource centers, trying to give us the picture that everything is okay and the number of new AIDS is dwindling. We're getting a grasp on this thing. Well, the data that say the number of AIDS cases is leveling off came out of San Francisco. Does that ring a bell? And if that, they say this, it's meant to give the impression that AIDS is on the run. But the reason the number of new AIDS cases is leveling off in San Francisco is that when the number reaches the saturation point or the saturation level, it can't get any higher. I mean, you got 100%, you got 100%. It's maxed out. There has to be a leveling off at the saturation point. Dr. William Campbell Douglas says, if you believe the government propaganda that AIDS is hard to catch, he says, you're going to die sooner than you think you are. He says, the common cold is a virus. And it is. Have you ever had a cold? How did you catch it? You don't really know now, do you? If the cold virus were fatal, how many people would be left in the world? Yellow fever is a virus. You catch it from mosquito bites. Malaria is a parasite also carried by mosquitoes. It is many times larger than the AIDS virus, like comparing a pinhead to a moose head. Yet the mosquito easily carries this large organism to man. That's a quote from the Spotlight magazine, 1987. Now, if mosquitoes can carry AIDS, and a number of medical sources say they definitely can, if they can carry AIDS and not transmit AIDS to man, then science owes it to humanity to find out what it is in the mosquito that filters out this virus. I left that poster in the car, didn't I? I didn't ring it all day. We're hearing a great deal today about safe sex. Everybody's heard of that. Not only are we getting questionable information from the medical community, we're getting absolutely the wrong message from the government and the liberal media. All we have heard recently from politicians, educators, psychologists, and commentators is safe sex, safe sex, safe sex, pass out the condoms and save America. We've all heard it, haven't we? That's all that we see, that's all that we read. You know, if it weren't so sad, it would be hysterically funny. We have spent trillions of dollars on national defense. Missiles that can be guided by electronic beams through the air. AWACS. Radar evading stealth bombers. Technology so complicated, so sophisticated, that if a rat rolls his eyes in the basement of the Kremlin, we know which way he's looking. But now that we're facing a plague that could literally wipe out our population, we're coming up with a new defense program. Are you ready for it? A 25-cent condom. Doesn't that make you feel safe? Who do they think we are? To insult our intelligence like that. I said if it weren't so sad, it would be hysterically funny. I'm going to tell you something you already know. Condoms will not save America. The only thing that will save America is repentance and morality. And it's time to get back. And we better hurry. Safe sex is a slogan for morons. What do we tell our children? Don't drink and drive, it'll kill you. Don't use drugs, just say no, they'll kill you. What does America say to their children today about sex? Go ahead, but be safe. Use protection. We're what the Bible calls fools. The message America needs to hear is not the message of safe sex. The message America needs to hear is the message of abstinence, the message of repentance, and the message of purity. We need to hear the message that the Hebrew writer says in chapter 12 at verse 14, the message of holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The Bible says, Romans 6 at verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel said in the long ago in chapter 18 at verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is a payday someday. There is a high price for low living. Our choices have consequences. You know, the sexual laws of God's Word are not meant to harass you or make you feel socially obsolete. They're meant to save your life. God knew what He was doing. Those around us may say, let's party. You know, this is the way we want to live. But they're fools racing to the graveyard. They'll take a chance. Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Live by the purity of the Word of God, and you will have happiness and health. Listen, sex is wonderful. God invented it. Most of you are here because of it. Safe sex, according to God's Word, is sex between one man, one woman, married to each other for life. That's what safe sex is all about. You don't have to worry about anything, do you? Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10. I think this is the time to speak out or be what Isaiah calls a dumb dog. Jim, if you're listening, could you bring me another cup of water, please? In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, the prophet said, the Lord's watchmen are all blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Isaiah said that in an hour of crisis, the Lord's watchmen were dumb dogs who could not bark. That is, they could not announce danger. Unfortunately, that describes a lot of religious folks today. I would rather be hated by the world and labeled by the humanistic, leftist, liberal press as a redneck, fundamentalist preacher than to stand before God on the day of judgment and hear Him say to me, you knew the truth, but you didn't speak it. You were a dumb dog. In the day of danger, you kept your mouth shut. And you let the people stumble into the abyss of disease and hell without even warning them. Well, here we are. Let's look at the impact of AIDS for a moment. We keep hearing that the AIDS virus is very fragile. And you can't catch AIDS from casual contact. Just how fragile and delicate is this AIDS virus? I got some more quotes. I think these are important. Dr. James Shalhoub of the National Institute of Health says that the AIDS virus can live outside the body for several days. Now, doesn't that sound fragile? The British medical journal Lancet, September the 9th, 1985, says that the virus can live for a week in a culture dish. The Pasteur Institute of France states the virus can live for 15 days outside the body at room temperature. So if someone coughs, the virus can stay in the room for up to 2 weeks. Yeah, that's real fragile. Now, if you cannot get AIDS through casual contact, then why do doctors who treat AIDS patients look more like RoboCop than Dr. Kildare? Remember when Rock Hudson died due to AIDS? He was in one of the best hospitals in the world. An institution with a history of AIDS treatment. Every doctor and every nurse who touched Rock Hudson had on 2 pairs of gloves covered in their attire of the gown and the shoes and their hair. That protective gear was removed and burnt. Why? You can't catch it with casual contact. Why waste the hospital's gowns? Why not just wash them? You know, the answer is that medical science is not even sure what they know about AIDS. And if they told America what they do know about AIDS, pandemonium just might break out. Americans might get so moved that they would get up off their duffs, demand their politicians to do something to protect us. They would demand that doctors with AIDS not be permitted to practice. They would demand that property owners not be forced to rent their property to someone who is infected with the AIDS virus. And that employers would not be forced to hire AIDS carriers. The number of AIDS cases is supposed to increase by 1995, 600%. That means 9 million cases of AIDS in America and 1 million deaths, mostly to the youth of our country, the flower and hope of our nation. By the year 2000, 20 million Americans, the institutes are saying, will have AIDS. 1 in every 10 people in our schools, in our offices, in our workplaces, and God forbid, in our churches, will be an infected time bomb. I want us to view now the wrong role models. I had a poster of Magic Johnson. And up at the top, and he's dribbling the basketball against the Detroit Pistons. And up the caption at the top was, "It can happen to anybody, even me." Well, Magic has got something that no magic wand can make disappear now, doesn't he? He chose his lifestyle, and he's having to pay for it. Down at the bottom, it says, "Practice safe sex." Role models. That's what I'm talking about. We've got the wrong role models today. There's a lot of pressure on our young people. There's been a lot of pressure when I was a young person to do what everyone else is doing. You know, young people need to know that it only takes one sexual relationship with an HIV carrier to kill you. It only takes one. And how do you know who's who? How do you know? Teenage girls, when they go to bed with Johnny to prove their love, and what an idiotic expression that is. They're not just going to bed with Johnny. They're going to bed with everybody that Johnny went to bed with and everybody they went to bed with. Right on down the line, they could be going to bed with thousands of people. Again, Again, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, flee fornication. There's a reason to flee fornication, and we know what that reason is. Basketball star Wilt Chamberlain recently published a book in which he admitted to 20,000 adulterous relationships with 1,000 different women during his NBA career. Frankly, I think he's lying through his teeth. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to put that into a calculator or computer and figure out that he would not have gotten out of bed long enough to play a game. But that's the kind of role model America's young people are looking up to. That's the wrong role model. Our role model is not some oversexed, egotistical basketball star, rock star, or movie star. Our role model is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, who created the stars. That should be our role model. That's what they need to be hearing today. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, we'll be judged by the standard of righteousness, John 12, verse 48, found in God's Word. We're not going to be judged by the standard of Playboy or the standard of Madonna or some nymphomaniac out there in the NBA. That's not what we're going to be judged by. Are you aware that AIDS is the fourth largest killer in America right now? In Nigeria, 80% of the professionals have AIDS. 85% of the military has AIDS. And 99% of the prisoners have AIDS. Perhaps you think, well, that's because it all started over in Africa. Well, maybe so, but it's here now. It's here now. And there's no known cure. Some doctors say there'll never be a cure. But here's what politicians are saying. If we can get the American people to give us billions of dollars for research, we might find a solution that works for some people in 20 years. Well, I know of a cure for AIDS that will stop the epidemic in one generation. It will not cost one red dime. I guarantee its success. It will drive the AIDS virus from the bloodstream of every American. The cure for AIDS is purity. Let's try that for a while. I know it will work. Amen. Consider briefly, and I'm about through, the past 30 years in America. 30 years ago, no one thought much about homosexuality or what is now called gay rights. There were no gay pride parades with men passionately kissing each other while walking down Broadway, some dressed like women taunting citizens with sexual slurs and hand signals for all television cameras to see. 30 years ago, they were still in the closet. 30 years ago, politicians were not tripping all over themselves to publicly announce their support for gay rights, as did every Democratic presidential candidate in 1988 and the present platform of the Democratic Party. Today, the news media and the liberal politicians are bombarding America with the demand for homosexual rights. Congress is being pressured right now for a gay rights bill. Well, let me ask a question. Where did they ever get the insane idea that there is a right to sodomize? They didn't get it from the Word of God. We've already looked at what the Bible says about that. They didn't get it from the Constitution either. But I'll tell you what they're getting. Pages 85 and 86 of Congressman Dannemeyer says this: the gay rights bill will include the right for homosexuals to marry and the right to adopt children. Every business will be put on notice that homosexuals must be hired regardless of the moral or religious convictions of the employer. School sex education will be revised to depict sodomy as normal. Teachers will be hired who approve of homosexual rights and who are homosexuals themselves to make sure there is no discrimination. Homosexual clubs will be in every school, as presently exist in Los Angeles. Even church schools who receive government money are going to be forced to subsidize homosexual activities on the campus, which has already happened at Georgetown University. In that situation, the government forced Georgetown University, a Catholic university, to recognize homosexual clubs and give it carte blanche on campus. Hey, it's yours. Why didn't you? You're just one of the guys, you know. It would have been a great hour, in one sense, for the Catholic Church if they would have closed down the school and said, we're not going to have anything to do with it. But they yielded to the government, as most people do. People say this could never happen in America. I'm telling you this morning, wake up. It's already happening. People were saying that about prayer 20 years ago, weren't they? One person, Madeline Murray O'Hara, got the prayers out of the school. People were saying that 20 years ago about abortion. But where are we today? Will religious persecution be next? It can't happen in America. Never in America. Look back, will you? Look back 20 years ago and see where we're headed. Will religious persecution be next? What can you do about it? The first thing you can do about it is open your Bible, find out that homosexuality is an abomination to God. It is not now, nor will it ever be, an alternative lifestyle acceptable to anyone but the devil himself. Secondly, you can quit being a political couch potato and get off your backsides and get registered to vote and vote against every congressman, every senator, every presidential candidate who is for the gay rights bill. And you can voice your opposition and you can pray hard. That's what you can do. Amen. Homosexuality, choice or chance? They say they're born homosexuals. I can't help myself. That's a bald-faced lie, and they know it. It's not medically true. The only medical support for that thesis comes from the people they hire to research projects from the liberal media, practicing Hitler's method of telling a lie often enough, big enough, until most of the mindless citizens believe it. Contrary to homosexual belief, God did not make them that way. James 1 at verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Listen, God did not put within you a poison pill called sodomy, which will destroy your body and destroy your soul. Sin and death did not come from God. They came from Satan, who is the prince of darkness, who is out to rob you, who is out to destroy you, who is out to kill you. That's where it comes from. Medical evidence overwhelmingly supports the position that homosexuality is derived by choice. That is, by learning and conditioning, not by chance. Wainwright Churchill of Homosexual Behavior Among Males states this: there is no sexual instinct in man. Human sexuality is entirely dependent upon learning and conditioning. Dr. Robert Frumkin, in his Encyclopedia of Sexual Behavior, states there is no sexual instinct in man. Masters and Johnson says this on page 319 in their human sexuality study: the genetic theory of homosexuality has been generally discarded today. Here it is. The bottom line is this: you are morally responsible for your conduct. Choices have consequences. Suppose for a moment that we buy this absurd logic of the homosexuals. It's in my genes, and I can't help it. Carry that logic just a little bit further. Let's see where it gets us. My parents had a bad temper. So do I. It's in my genes. I just get mad and kill people. I can't help it. On the basis of that logic, I don't even know if it's logic, we should let all the serial killers out of the penitentiaries since they were born that way and they can't help it. That's where that logic takes you. But in truth, we're responsible for our actions. My mother was a kleptomaniac. She loved to steal, and so do I. If it's not nailed down, it's mine. I can't help it. It's in my genes. Listen, from the Garden of Eden, man has been playing the blame game for a long time. When Adam sinned, he said to God, "Why, the woman you gave me, she made me do it." People are still using that argument today. Flip Wilson said, "The devil made me do it." Listen, we're blaming things on the devil that just might embarrass him himself. We blame the stars. It's written in the stars. We blame our parents. We blame society. We blame the church. That's good freshman psychology, but that's terrible theology. We're responsible for what we do. We make the choices. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17 that we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have new friends. We have new habits. We have new attitudes. We have a new heart. We have a new mind. And we have a new body. Written down in glory, we have a new name. You can be a new person by living the Word of God. Folks today need to stop waiting around in the sewer of their past, blaming their sad, sorry, sin-sick life on someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, because we're going to receive the things which we've done in our body, whether it be good or bad." Our young people today need to start getting moral instructions from the home and from the church, instead of movie stars and rock stars. Isn't it amazing how our young people can sing every lyric of every rock song or every country song? But lo and behold, can you tell me the plan of salvation? Can you name the books of the Bible for me? Is Ezra in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Something's wrong if it's that way. TV sitcoms are sick. If they're not sick, they're intellectually bankrupt, which is another way of just saying they're stupid. Authors are sick. Porno videos are sick. Rock stars are sick. Most movies are sick. Most magazines are sick. They're written by sick, twisted, depraved, lost, humanistic pagans and heathens who hate God, who hate God's word, who hate moral absolutes. Their words maim, they cripple, they injure, they kill. They have no place in the life of a Christian. Throw them out. Stop getting your instructions from Norman Lear and Madonna and get it from Jesus Christ. He's got the answer. He's got the answer. You have a choice according to Proverbs 28 verse 13. Repentance or exposure. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's your option. That's our option today. You know, the good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I say all sin, even the sin of homosexuality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the lesson jurors, beginning at verse 9, we have this reading. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." They don't have a chance, he's saying. But guess what happened to those Corinthians? He says at verse 11, but such were. That's past tense, isn't it? Were. But such were some of you. Well, what's happened to them? Well, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. There's hope for the homosexual. But they've got to do something about it. They've made the choice to be that way. They've got to make the choice to get out of that way and come back to God and His conditions. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, God loves every homosexual, but He does not accept homosexuality. He will forgive the sin of homosexuality. But understand where the line is drawn, my friend. We will not now, nor will we ever accept homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle because God's Word says it's an abomination. That's the bottom line. We choose to live by God's law and not the suggestions of society. Are you living by God's law on salvation this morning? This hasn't been a soul-stirring sermon. I know I've went overtime. I hope you're not upset. I don't get upset when I go to a game and it gets into extra innings. And I hope you're not upset this morning because I went a little bit over. But have you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine? Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost. You're without Christ. You're without hope. You can do something about that. The provisions has been made by the Almighty God. If you're subject, make your knees known while we stand and sing the song Brother Brian has selected.